Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, and it feels like a Friday, doesn't it? Kind of a shortened week here. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Friday will mean a special best of, Tom. We call it, I like to say, a program worth hearing a second time. How's that sound?
Or one of Bill's favorites.
One of Bill's favorites. Okay, Tom, so we had Sprinkles up at the Buckmaster Bungalow for about 45 minutes.
Last night or yesterday afternoon?
Yesterday afternoon. I thought, some places were getting a really good downpour. Sort of a mild start to the monsoon at our place.
Yeah, you know, the earlier predictions were that this was going to be the heaviest rainfall day, Thursday.
But yeah.
It's going to, looks to me like it's going to be a repeat of yesterday because we're seeing the clouds build up over mm-hmm. the Catalinas, over Mount Lemmon. So it looks like they're going to get their rain again.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not complaining. A little bit of a sprinkle is better than nothing. It is Thursday. It's the eve of Independence Day 2025. It's the 3rd of July. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. It's part of the Bustos Media Center. We're located in central Tucson. We've got 5 radio stations operating here in one location. This is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted live local news and talk. And we're in our, well, we've got 14 and a half years with the radio program that we, that milestone was achieved on Tuesday. So that puts us at 37 and a half years since I arrived in Tucson in 1988, but of course had a ton of media broadcast experience even before that. Our worldwide live listening of our program and all of our podcasts available on my website, buckmastershow.com. We update that every day. The program is then, thanks to Rosemary Brandt, posted by about dinner time. Same day. Our telephone interviews, that's part of the Buckmaster Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Steve Christie is the lone Republican on the 5 members of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. He represents District Number 4, which includes Mount Lemmon, so we're very curious to get an update on how things went up there. Supervisor Christie, how are you?
I'm doing great, and happy 4th of July, Bill.
Yes, it is a very happy Independence Day to you. Your fine staff was kind enough to send me some very interesting rain photos right before I went on the air yesterday. A very good kind of a downpour up there on Mount Lemmon, which then turned into hail. So it almost looked like kind of a, oh, what is that? They call it Christmas in July.
Yeah. Well, Greg up there at the country store provided those shots that you were sent, and it really that's a pretty substantial not only downpour. I think they got 1.18 inches of rain, and of course the hail added to that. So that was much needed to quench the potential for forest fires and wildfires, and much appreciated that we got that. And the good thing is that there are. We're not going to have our terrific sheriff's auxiliary volunteers standing at milepost zero, handing out our office's fire safety brochures and trash bags on that hot asphalt. So we're grateful for that. They won't need to be doing that with this rain. And just as an aside, at the July 15th Board of Supervisors meeting, we will be recognizing the SAVs, the Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, for their efforts and, you know, expressing the community's appreciation at that meeting. So we're very pleased and proud of our collaboration with them. And also up on Mount Lemmon, it's going to be the 50th anniversary of the Mount Lemmon 4th of July parade.
Wow.
And it really is a must-see event. I was fortunate and honored enough to be a Grand Marshal several years ago, and it really has a lot of that hometown sense of community and the parade floats and the participants. It's a heartwarming and patriotic event, and really is something that people have a chance to go up and take part of and enjoy the view and the spectacle and the cool weather, it's well worth it.
I really wish they were still handing out the bags, the trash bags, because we really need folks to clean up, and they need to be very mindful. Even though we've had a little bit of rain up there, you've got to remember all the fire restrictions.
Well, we will have the trash bags available for distribution at the community center and at the visitor center. So those are always there on a full-time basis, and we urge people to take advantage of that. And please take out your trash. Don't leave it there.
So much to discuss with you today. It was such a very active June for you and your colleagues, not only crafting the budget, but all the dust up that continues over the so-called Project Blue and these data centers. What's your thinking on this? And you did vote with the majority 3-2 to move forward with these programs.
Well, if you look at the guts of the deal and you look at it in black and white terms and leave out all the hyperbole and the melodrama and the speculation, and at this point it is all of the opponents of this project are really speculating. They have no solid information. They have no solid data. And what they're objecting to and what they're concerned with is, again, pure speculation, not based by any record of fact. So I urge everybody that is in opposition to this to kind of look at it from, and I can only go back at my own background of running and owning my own business, but the guts of the deal, it should be noted, you know, there's 209 acres involved, and this acreage is in the what they call the DM paddle, and that DM paddle restricts development opportunities very stringently. It restricts residential and commercial use, and really it's only, they do have exceptions for industrial and heavy industrial use, and that's really the only way that that land, that county taxpayer-owned land, can be utilized. And in one fell swoop with a pen, we are selling that 209 acres for $20 million in cash. $20 million in cash almost represents the total amount for the annual budget for the road repair program in unincorporated Pima County. So with $20 million cash, we can do a lot of things with that that we wouldn't ordinarily be able to do if we didn't have it. It's going to cost somewhere between $3.6 billion to build out in, over the length of this project. You can imagine what that's going to do to the assessed value of the property. It's going to put that property on the tax rolls and generate tax revenue of a phenomenal amount of money that we wouldn't have if we didn't have this project back on the tax rolls. And on top of that whole promising and guarantees from the end user, it's going to provide 18 miles of reclaimed waterline infrastructure. And this is sewage hookups, sewer hookups, and waterline hookups. And it unlocks that whole southeast area for residential development. It also provides high-paying jobs, granted, not many. Jobs are a very important part of this whole factor, but it's not the only factor. But nonetheless, it also is going to be supportive of other area industries. We might even have some connection with the American Battery Factory closer into the airport area. So I think this is a real opportunity. I'd hate to see the hyperbole and the melodrama. And bear in mind, through this whole process, the environmental community has been really somewhat muted on this. We haven't heard a lot from them. And to me, that says a lot. Silence is a voluminous type of speaking effort. And they're not really speaking one way or the other about this, other than they're trying to be, careful about what's going to happen. But nonetheless, they're not coming after the whole program with tar and feathers. And the most other interesting thing that I find is that the unions have been so supportive of this, the jobs that they're going to provide, the union membership, And historically, the unions have seemed to have sided with the party that my colleagues are involved with. And those same unions spoke very passionately at the last board meeting that dealt with this issue. I think there were three or four union representatives, and they are all adamantly excited about this whole project for their membership and for the jobs that it's going to create. So I think that if everybody just let the process unfold, it's still got to go to the city council and the mayor for annexation approval. And I think there's going to be a lot more information forthcoming. And I think it's a great opportunity. Now, I'm old enough to remember, and I think you might be too, Bill, Motorola came into town with some great plans that they were going to build a huge plant, and that whole thing was driven away by interest groups, and we lost an opportunity there, and we don't want that to happen again. And if we keep on trying to put up roadblocks to this whole project, it will be just one more big billboard that says Pima County is not open for business.
All right, now
it's going to be a big deal, and they're going to have 8 to 10 buildings, anywhere from 250 to 300,000 square foot each. So,
all right,
this is an exciting opportunity
for our listeners who were listening yesterday. Tucson City Councilman Steve Dahl, an avid environmentalist, and I do think, Supervisor Christie, there is the environmental movement is starting to coalesce around Councilman Dahl, who announced he's a firm no on this project. His concerns are how much power this uses and the amount of water that this will take. And the pipeline will take 2 to 3 years to be built. And in the meantime, that would be using drinking water to get it out to the facility. But anyway, the environmental group, I think, is starting to come alive here. And I think there's some real questions whether this will pass the city council.
Well, there's always questions about that. And one thing I've always been is rather critical of the administration and operation and those in charge of running the city of Tucson. And it's somewhat difficult me to pay them a compliment. But one thing I can compliment is how the Tucson Water Organization has been a terrific shepherd of our water resources. And I'm certain that in this whole process of negotiations to bring this company in, that Tucson Water has been in the forefront of these discussions. And if there was any indication, knowing Tucson Water, particularly with their differential water rate in impositions that they've put into effect, they're very, very careful and very good stewards of our water. I'm sure we would heard a lot more about their concerns, and they're all on board about it, because obviously for the infrastructure, 18 miles, that's something that I don't think the county or the city could ever find the money to put that whole infrastructure into place. And I'm sure Tucson Water would have objections if they couldn't fulfill the needs. Same with Tucson Electric Power. You know, I wish they hadn't have done that rate increase announcement at that time. That was ham-fisted and tone-deaf and certainly lacking in situational awareness. But one thing that you can count on and is very certain, in addition to death and taxes, is TEP raising their rates. They're going to do it that day. They could have done it a week later, a month later, but at any time in the future, you know that TEP is going to raise its rates. So it's just one of those factors that we're all going to have to deal with. But from their standpoint, they will have a very large customer that will be a consistent user of their product, and it will level out the ability for a uniform usage of the electricity that will keep things going and allow for the imposition of electric power throughout the community because of somebody who's really spending a lot of money providing payment to Tucson Electric Power.
All right, we are about 4 minutes beyond the first break, but I just want to close out the discussion with you on Project Blue. Is there the July 15th meeting? We had Supervisor Dr. Hines on our program calling in on the live line from the Normandy coast of France on Monday. He's enjoying
July 15th meeting.
He's enjoying vacation over there, and the vote was 3-2, and he did vote in the affirmative, but he wishes he could reconsider his vote. But I guess that's in limbo, or maybe it's not in limbo due to the legal opinion that board policies preclude reconsideration of votes related to a contract. So where I'm going here is you don't see this being reconsidered at any point.
Not by the Board of Supervisors, no.
All right.
Or anybody else at that point.
All right. So let's take a break right here. Coming up now on 20 minutes past the hour, we've still got some more on with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie on this eve of Independence Day 2025. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's a Thursday afternoon that kind of feels like a Friday because we're all excited here about everybody getting a day off tomorrow. There were some donuts left over. Right, Tom? No, I did not partake in one of the leftover donuts, but it was, of course, celebrating the Drive Ken Carr's birthday celebration July 2nd yesterday. So everybody's all in a very good mood here at the Bustos Media Center on this Independence Eve. Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, the lone Republican on the five-member board, is very happy about the three-day weekend and Mount Lemmon getting some rain. We did have, as I mentioned, Supervisor Christie, Dr. Hines, checking in with us from France, and it sounded like, I have to believe him that he was there, but it was such a very, very good connection. It felt like he was in the next room. But anyway, you attempted to delay the vote that he would, his kind of pet project about affordable housing, you saying you wanted some time to hold a series of public listening sessions. Your motion died while no other supervisors were willing to postpone that item again. And it did pass, the affordable housing measure, 4-1. And again, we've talked a little bit about this. Should Pima County be in the affordable housing business?
I'm absolutely opposed to it, particularly in the manner that that it's being funded and constructed. I think it is probably one of the more egregious methods of trying to extract money from the taxpayers. For instance, in this upcoming year, it isn't as affected as it will be in following years and subsequent years, even though we're taking money from the general fund this year, an additional $3.5 million of the cushion that we have as far as the safety net of money left in the general fund for emergencies. We're taking that money and applying it to the already $5 million that we're supporting affordable housing with. And affordable housing is nothing more than public funded housing and housing construction for those folks who are going to be subsidized to live there, and it's a subsidization by the taxpayers at the front end and the back end. The money comes from the county, from the taxpayers, to mostly out of state developers to incentivize them and help them construct what is known as affordable housing, which is really public-funded, taxpayer-funded housing. They used to call them the projects. And then on the back end, the inhabitants, the residents of this housing, will be rent-subsidized again by Pima County taxpayers. And that money source to fund all of this process that I just described comes out of the general fund, and it's going to include raising private property taxes, residential property taxes, on people who have played by the rules for years, went out to the private sector, secured a mortgage, put a down payment, worked real hard to keep their property, not only in the mortgage payments, but in the upkeep and maintenance for many years, hoping to build equity. There could be a safety net nest egg for them in their later years. And only to find that when they open up their tax bill in the next couple of years, they're going to see a substantial property tax raise, increase, and it's going to be very difficult for them to fathom that the reason why this increase in their property taxes is taking place is because money went from the general fund of Pima County to support public housing. So they're playing by the rules, paying their taxes, making all the payments for anywhere from 25 to 30 years and maybe even more if they refinance, and they paid off this nest egg, and now they're going to have to still pay property taxes at a higher rate because it's going to go to fund for somebody else to live in publicly funded and supported housing. Mm. It's wrong. It's a real slap in the face to folks on fixed incomes. They've been looking forward to this ability to have some kind of a cushion in their lives that they can live on and enjoy their later years, only to find it's being frittered away by a property tax increase that's going to pay for somebody else's housing. Mm. It's wrong.
Well, it's been nearly 20 years, hasn't it, now, since you sold the dealership, Chrysler Jeep dealership. You still like the Chrysler products?
Well, there's only one Chrysler product left, and that's the Pacifica van. It's the 100th anniversary, by the way, Bill, of Chrysler.
Really?
And the only product that that brand is producing is the minivan. So it's gone through several iterations, and there's auto analysts and critics that are saying, you know, why would you keep a Chrysler brand name around when you're only offering one product? But nonetheless, it has, as you know, a very storied and colorful career in automotive history going back 100 years now. And if you think over all those years that it was part of the big three, the triumvirate that really made the auto industry worldwide. And I wish everybody at Chrysler a happy birthday. And I'm certain that it's going to generate some kind of new iteration with its operation with Stellantis, a European company that has many other marks other than Chrysler and Jeep and Dodge. So it is kind of astounding to look back over relatively short term, 30, 40 years of how Chrysler has gone through.
Yeah, I did not have any idea. I'm glad I brought it up. 100-year anniversary for Chrysler. Steve Christie, District 4, Pima County Supervisor.
Bill, I forgot to tell you one thing.
What's that?
I don't know if I mentioned this before.
I don't know.
I love being supervisor.
Oh, really? That's rather shocking news. No, it's not.
I know it's astounding,
I know.
But I wanted to share it with you on the eve of Independence Day.
Yeah, I hope you and your family have a lovely 3-day weekend. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Take a break right here. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bbtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It rained a little bit over at Green Things, which made the plants very happy. I speak to the plants, so I know that they were all breathing a collective sigh of relief. I'm a plant whisperer. Well, I like to think so anyway. 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Everything you can imagine for your garden and home. Some beautiful furnishings at Zocalo Village. The pottery alone is worth a visit there. It's the largest selection of pottery in Arizona. And they've got a great, great group of pottery selection from all over the world. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. We love the owners, Jan and Jack, who I'll be seeing this weekend. Looking forward to that. Also, a getaway for you. If you're thinking of maybe you'd like to take a little road trip for the three-day weekend, how about Silver City? It's 76 over there right now. That's pretty darn good. Great hiking weather in the Gila National Wilderness, about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. You hit I-10, take a left at Lordsburg. And by the way, someone told me that had just been over there that Lordsburg finally has a very good place to eat. Apparently, I don't know. There's a new restaurant, Mexican restaurant, that these folks were telling me is excellent. So anyway, you head then up the hill to Silver City, where I know there is wonderful New Mexico cuisine available for you. And that website, southwestnewmexico.org, is the website to start your planning. Once a month, we check in with our friend, the world-famous, renowned Dr. David Levy. My goodness, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. Who discovers 23 comets? Answer, David Levy. And he's with us right now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Happy Independence Day Eve. Happy Canada Day to you, being a favorite son of our friends up north. How are you, Dr. Levy?
Well, hello there, Bill. And before we get on, I mean, I've eaten at that restaurant, and I can echo in Lordsburg, and I can echo that it is possibly one of the best restaurants in the world.
Really?
And well, it's worth a trip just to go and eat there.
Wow.
I forgot them.
Wow.
And the other thing that I need to offer is my congratulations.
Thank
to you,
you
on your intending nuptials.
Thank you.
And I say this with a modicum of jealousy.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, you and I have kind of gone through much the same experience.
Oh, yes.
I am not for it yet. But yeah. Congratulations, my friend, Bill.
Thank you very much. Yes, you lost Wendy, your beloved Wendy, a little bit before I lost Anne. So, yeah, we've kind of been through this together, that dark tunnel, as they say. How about, speaking of dark, are you getting some good viewing in despite a little bit of cloudiness?
Oh, yeah, except, you know, there's a Yiddish word, I'm a klutz. You know, and in your introduction, you didn't say that part. But what I did was I kind of was walking around in the dark, and I bumped into the telescope, the larger one, and knocked it over.
Oh, no.
And that was it. Didn't hurt me or anything, and the telescope was a little angry at me. And I've spent the last 4 days putting it back together, and last night I succeeded. And I got it together, we hugged, and we are observing again.
Good.
And the telescope is named Eureka. Eureka is Archimedes' expression after he discovered the principle of buoyancy while he was taking a bath. And he was so excited, he jumped out of the bathtub, ran down the street, yelling, Eureka! There's nothing in the story that says anything about him spending time dressing after he got out of the bathtub.
Well, now that the telescope is put back together, is there some meteor showers that you can take a look at?
Yes. Later this month, there's the Delta Aquarids coming out of the constellation of Aquarius. And at the same time, the second biggest shower of the year, the Perseids, is starting to ramp up. And we'll talk about that next month because that's an August shower.
Okay.
But the Delta Aquarids are a July shower. and they're coming up in a couple of weeks.
How is the book published by the University of Arizona Press, your book called Stargazers? How is that doing? Are you getting some good feedback?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking. I'm getting a lot of interviews, and people are calling me from different radio stations and online venues, interviewing me about it. And I don't know if it's helping with the sales, but it makes me feel good about the book, and I'm glad I wrote that. I'm working on another one right now called With Golden Fire. It's an annotated, informal compilation of night sky-related poetry.
Which leads us to the quote of the month.
The quote of the month. And the quote of the month is different this month because if any of your listeners, especially your older listeners, have not heard of the singing group called The Birds, then where have you been for the last 55 years?
I love The Birds.
My favorite bird song is Turn, Turn, Turn.
Yes.
And you know the Turn, Turn, Turn? The words are coming right out of Ecclesiastes.
I've heard that.
For everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
Mm-hmm.
A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pick up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, as we just did. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. And finally, a time for war and a time for peace.
David, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in August, okay?
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show here. We're getting ready for our three-day Independence Weekend. But first, it's time for segment number four with our friend, Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices. He has a beautiful office here in Tucson. He also has a very nice office. I have not been there personally in Phoenix, the Phoenix office, but I understand it is lovely. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing, and the way Arizona's going with all our laws, despite a record number of vetoes by our governor, Don needs to think about a third edition for Arizona Laws 101. Hey, Don, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
Each year, I look forward to this session where we kind of recap some of these humongous awards, civil awards that came out of the calendar year, I guess, 2024, we're going to be looking at. This just came out, this news, Arizona's top 10 largest settlements.
Yeah. So every year, the State Bar of Arizona publishes the 10 largest verdicts throughout the state. And typically, you'll see several verdicts of over $1 million. Sometimes you'll see verdicts in, you know, the $10 to $20 million range. Last year, however, was exceedingly rare in terms of the large amounts. So we'll talk about some of last year's cases, but the largest verdict last year was $140 million. That came out of Arizona in a class action lawsuit.
That's got to be a record.
I'm not sure if it is or not, wow, but you don't see 140 million.
I saw those numbers and I had to kind of, what is that, 140 million?
Right,
all
exactly.
All those zeros and wow.
Before we get into the cases, I wanted to share some information about how these numbers compare to the year before. So we're doing a comparison of verdicts in 2024 to verdicts in 2023, because again, this is an annual survey that is published, basically summarizing 12 months of verdicts for the previous year. So in 2024, juries and judges awarded $294 million in verdicts in Arizona. So if you think about that for a minute, that's almost $300 million in verdicts. Most of those were awarded by juries. In 2023, by comparison, which was the year prior to this last survey, the number was $76 million. So in 1 year, it jumped from $76 million to $294 million, which I think is just incredible.
Mm. It's a robust year for sure.
Arizona's civil trials had the top 10 verdicts all being awarded by juries. So in our civil courts, you, as a claimant or a defendant, you can have your case decided by a judge, which would be a bench trial, or in most cases, there are some exceptions, but in most cases, you can have your cases decided by a jury. Mm-hmm. So in a civil case, the jury is typically comprised of eight people, right? Eight citizens. There may be some alternates selected, but generally you're impaneling eight, what we call strangers, to hear the facts of your case and then make a decision that is binding on you and the other party to the dispute. So our system is pure in the sense that you get eight people that you don't know, that don't know you, don't know anything about your case typically. After hearing the facts, they render a verdict, which is then binding on you and the other party. So last year, the juries in these 10 cases awarded hundreds of millions of dollars to the plaintiffs. There were some defense verdicts too, but the plaintiffs won more than the defendants did. So the plaintiff, of course, is the party bringing the lawsuit, and the defendant, of course, is the party defending the lawsuit.
So at the top of the list.
Yeah, so at the top of the list, we have a class action lawsuit. This case was brought by Lydia Baltmeyer against defendant CenturyLink.
So we
know CenturyLink provides internet services.
Yes, I have their services at my home. I will point that out. Okay.
All right. So Lydia, who was the class representative, in other words, she represented all of the members of the class in the class action. She claimed that CenturyLink violated the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So the Fair Credit Reporting Act governs what entities and people can do with other people's credit information, right? So if you submit an application for credit, let's say you're buying a car, you need a loan, there are limits on how that information can be used by the party that you're submitting it to. In this case, Lydia went to their e-commerce website and started to fill out the information required in order for her to get internet service. And apparently there were five steps. So she provided personal information in the first four of those five and then decided to terminate the order, and she never consummated it. Despite that, apparently, CenturyLink used her information that she had provided and apparently pulled a credit report on her. And exactly. She claimed that because she had never consummated the purchase and had abandoned it, that they had no business using any of her information because they had no legitimate business reason to do so.
Of course.
Makes sense to me.
Of course. Makes sense to me as well.
CenturyLink said, no, we had the right to obtain the consumer report in connection with the transaction that Lydia initiated because we have the need to make sure that fraud wasn't involved. So it was an anti-fraud measure, according to CenturyLink. Apparently, the jury didn't agree with that because what the jury did was award damages of $500 per class member, okay, $500, and punitive damages per class member of $2,000. So you might say, okay, well, $500 plus $2,000 is $2,500. Yeah, here's the power of multiples.
Okay.
When you multiply that by the number of class members, it equates to $28 million in statutory damages and $112 million in punitive damages for a total of $140 million. And I did some rounding there, but so that's the number.
That there must have been a lot of people involved.
So I'm thinking about this. So you go to an online portal, and you're thinking about doing a transaction, and you provide some information, and then you decide, no, this isn't for me, and you stop the process. What happens to the information that you've provided?
Right.
Well, in Lydia's case, CenturyLink used it in a way that the jury determined was improper, and it cost CenturyLink $140 million. All right, so that was the biggest one. And that came out of Arizona District Court. The next biggest one was only $79 million. Yeah, small by comparison, actually. So, in this, but huge by comparison to other verdicts nationwide. Very rarely do you see a $79 million verdict, and even rarer still is a $140 million verdict.
Yes.
Okay, so the $79 million verdict was a wrongful death case. So, in this case, the parents of two individuals who were killed in a car crash brought suit against the responsible driver. The jury determined apparently that the responsible driver was under the influence. The driver admitted alcohol use, but I think there was a dispute about whether he was under the influence or not. The jury awarded each parent, and there were three of them, three parents brought suit, $8 million in compensatory damages. And so you might say, okay, well, that's only $24 million, eight times three, and $22 million apiece in punitive damages. So you get to nearly $80 million to the three parents of these three of these two kids who were killed by apparently somebody who was under the influence of alcohol.
But that person presumably doesn't have the kind of money to pay that. So,
well,
yeah, what happened? Yeah. Presumably, unless they're some multi.
You raise a, I mean, you raise a great point. just because a jury awards.
Yeah.
Money damages doesn't mean that the claimant is going to actually collect those damages.
Right.
In most cases, there is insurance involved, but there are limits. There are limits to the policy, and I would take a wild guess here, and I would guess that the policy did not have a $79 million limit. Anyway, that was the award.
Only about a minute or so left. I think we're going to have to carry this over to next month. I'll keep this stack of stuff, but go ahead. Give us another one or summarize.
I want to talk about a medical malpractice case.
Okay.
So medical malpractice cases involve alleged negligence by a licensed physician, right? Mm-hmm. In this case, a plaintiff by the name of Amanda Hoover sued Banner University Medical Center and some others alleging medical negligence. So in order to show that, the plaintiff has to prove that the physician or the facility fell below the standard of care, right?
Yeah.
In this case, the plaintiff was the victim of a sponge having been left in her abdomen after a cesarean section.
Oh.
And I know.
Oh.
And the sponge eventually was found on imaging to have migrated to her colon.
Oh, my gosh.
So she had to undergo surgery to remove the sponge and a portion of her colon. Now, in this case, the defendants, Banner University Medical Center, 8L, admitted a breach of the standard of care. So they admitted that it breaches the standard to leave a sponge in a person's body. The jury awarded damages of $4 million to the plaintiff for having to undergo that trauma, $4 million.
Don Luce of Luce Law, let's pick this up because we hit kind of three of them, but still some questions about all of this. We'll pick it up in August.
How's my pleasure.
Sound? All right, Don, hope you and your lovely family have a terrific 4th of July. Thanks,
thank you,
Don.
Thank you.
All right, on behalf of Don Luce and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well this Independence Day. Please stay safe. See you Monday.